week. Who is that?
Hump.
I still don't know who that was. Was that you, Producer Pete?
No, that's a drop I've had for a little while. I don't know where it's from, actually.
Oh, all right. We can't give it any credit because we have no idea where it came from.
Hump.
Nice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is our middle show of the work week, which means in just over 30 minutes, you get to ask Amy anything. I know that you will come up with creative questions. Here's the crazy part. We continue to get questions every week that we've never seen before. Now we get a lot of repeats as well because we're going on 11 years of Ask Amy Anything. But the fact that there are still people every week, new people every week, who are asking questions, I think it's a great tribute to the show and the length and reach of After Hours around this great country of ours. And actually, to that end, on Tuesday, I got a tweet from a Brit. He called himself a Brit. He says, a Brit who's been following U.S. sports for close to 50 years. Really enjoy your show, having found you again on Infinity. And so, of course, considering how much I love this phrase, it's the only phrase that I can even closely do in a British accent. I said, thanks for keeping us close across the pond. Now, I couldn't do that with an accent, of course. I wish I could, but maybe since he listens to the show a lot, he's heard me say in reference to Wimbledon or the Open Championship that they are across the pond. That's all I got, Pete. Are you any good at impressions or voices or other accents? Across the pond. People get so mad at me too because I say it way too much when we have an opportunity.
I'm like you. If there is something I am good at in terms of accents or whatnot, I will repeat that same line. but no, I can't really do impersonations or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm not that gifted. That's not my special gift. My talents and abilities are limited when it comes to other voices. This is the only one I've got.
There was only one person I could do impersonation of. That was the famed boxing judge, Harold Letterman, when he would come on to boxing matches and mm-hmm. he would do the scorecards. They would go to Harold Letterman, okay, Jim, and then he would go through the scorecard. That's the only impersonation I could do.
Like actual boxing or... fake boxing.
Actual boxing.
Oh, okay, so not like pro wrestling then.
No.
Do you have a favorite pro wrestler, considering that that's your favorite sport?
From way back in the 70s, Bruno Sammartino. That was my favorite wrestler.
I wish I could have an intelligent discussion, but I cannot. I know very little about pro wrestling. I know Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
I know Taz, who used to work here at the network. Was part of a morning show for a while. He was badass. I know steroids were a part of it for a long time. And performance enhancing drugs. Trying to think if I know. John Cena.
Okay.
Vince McMahon.
Okay. Netflix special coming out on him.
Would you rather watch the Netflix special on Vince McMahon or Aaron Rodgers?
Probably Vince McMahon, because you know what? The Aaron Rodgers thing might make me very upset about my team.
Oh, it's called Enigma. Enigma. At first, could I tell you something true? This is so true and just so typical, and I bet I'm not the only one. When I first saw the title, I didn't stop to think about it, and I thought it was Enema.
Might be after you watch it.
Oh my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's the Hump Show. Coming up, we'll take your questions for Ask Amy Anything, so make sure that you get to them. We do have questions about the Steelers offense and who will be running it come week number two. Mike Tomlin gives us the latest on both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
He feels better today than he did over the weekend. And so what that means, I don't know as we sit here today. I know that we're going to take the same approach that we take with a lot of people in terms of injury. We'll first start with his participation and his level of participation, his quality of participation. Over the course of the week, we'll be analyzing whether he's capable of protecting himself, whether he's capable of being productive. When we get to those points, that's when we'll ponder his inclusion or not. And when that happens will probably be a component of that equation. But as I sit here today, we're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it.
We'll ponder it. We'll ponder whether or not he is the appropriate quarterback for the situation. We'll consider that to be a component in the equation. Oh my gosh, I love, love, love that he uses almost every single word he's got in his vocabulary to answer questions. I mean, he's far too cerebral for the majority of people out there.
He's the most thorough coach I've ever seen in press conferences. The most thorough. I don't think I've ever seen a coach.
He just used the word ponder.
Right.
What other NFL coach out there is going to use the word ponder in a press conference?
And it took 40
ponder?
Right. It took 40 seconds to get to what we actually wanted to know, but he was really thorough about it. I loved it.
Ponder.
He should be the president.
If you ponder it, they will come. Yeah, so in other words, they're monitoring Russell Wilson. It's still limiting him, this calf injury. And so right now they're working as though Justin Fields will be the starter against the Broncos on Sunday. But yeah, I could read it to you. It won't be the same in the voice of one Mike Tomlin. If I could do a Mike Tomlin impression, I feel like I'd be all set.
Yeah, I haven't seen many people that can do that. And you know what? That's if you can, that's a gift. You have a special gift.
As I sit here today, we're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it. Speculation is a waste of time. Russell's hurt. He is not available to us. And so, as you guys know, as a general practice, I focus my energy on those that are available and their readiness.
Good afternoon.
I'm not into the hypotheticals. That's so true. So Wilson is still listed as the starting quarterback, but right now Fields is the one who is taking the reps, of course, and Wilson's hurt, which kind of sucks. Now, it doesn't suck as much as it did, or it would have, I should say, if Wilson was hurt when he was the Broncos quarterback. Why? Because they were paying a hefty price tag. It doesn't hurt nearly as much for the Steelers because the Broncos are still paying a hefty price tag for Russell Wilson, and they got him for relatively cheap. Now, the thing is, they won their game over the weekend on Sunday against the, don't tell me, on Sunday, Falcons, on Sunday against the Falcons with six field goals, and they were not good in the red zone. In fact, they didn't have a lot of red zone opportunities because they were essentially going up and down the field in between the two, 40s, in between the two 40s.
They moved their units.
Just not far enough. They moved their units, but not far enough. And so, yep. Huh. So there's so many good Mike Tomlin drops in there.
It gives you that tingle.
My favorite is still the he did not urinate down his leg. And I don't know why he's talking about shooting hostages. That's not politically correct. And yet, I don't think we should harp on him for
that.
He
didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
It's a great place to start. If you're talking about a rookie quarterback, for instance, or a rookie running back, well, you know what? I didn't ask him to be a Hall of Famer on day one. I just want you to go out there and not pee on yourself.
We got to sleep fast.
We're going to cut your eyelids off. All right, let's see. So I am looking back to the team stats just because I want to see. I was pretty sure that they were not in the red zone. Yeah, they were 0 for 2 in the red zone, so they weren't there much. But they did get multiple field goals over 50 yards from one Chris Boswell, and they at least got into position to do that. But they're going to need more offense than that. I don't know if they're going to need it against the Broncos, but they are going to need more offense than that, especially when you consider the division that they are playing in. And this was a big win. The defense was terrific. They were able to force three turnovers off the Falcons. And so all of that is tremendous. They were able to control the time of possession. They had over 135 yards rushing. So those are all positives. But at some point, you're going to need a quarterback who can open up the field, who can open up the playbook or expand the playbook. You're going to need to have an offense that is not so one-dimensional and that isn't just predicated on running the ball controlling the ball, as well as having, you know, the kicker hit everything in sight like he's Justin Tucker or something. Who actually, Justin Tucker missed a field goal this weekend. What? They were 8 of 17 on third down, so that's a great percentage. They were taking care of the football, and they were moving the football, just not close enough to get into the red zone, and they had no touchdowns in this game. So right now, Justin Fields is on track to start week number 2. What about the Denver Broncos? We know they're using a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, making his debut for Sean Payton last weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. And Sean, you know, he's hedging his bets as well when it comes to his rookie, as most coaches do.
He gave us a chance. You know, I mean, our protection was average at best. And I just think, and I believe this, that we have to, you know, at one point in the game, I came to the bench and talked to the receivers and said, let's go. You know, I don't know how many drops we had, but man, let's help this guy.
It was a tough day. It was, you know, they didn't make it easy on us, that's for sure. But like I said, we competed. We went down and scored there at the end, and gave ourselves a chance to win. And we were, you know, an inch away on a, you know, almost batted ball that Riley Moss made an incredible play on that they just, you know, made a better play. So it's tough. You got to give them credit, but we battled and we continued to fought, and that's, you know, those are the emotions of today, that we got a competitive team. We got a team that's not going to quit, and we're going to put everything on the line. And no matter if it's, you know, ugly start, we're going to continue to find ways to finish.
They had just 7 points in the second half. So the game kind of hanging in the balance there in the second half. They had a scoreless third quarter, and there was an interception in the fourth quarter by Bo Nix. You hear Sean Payton talk about protection. You hear him talk about having, you know, the ability to catch the ball when the quarterback actually throws it. So Nix threw a lot of balls, 26 of 42 for 138 yards. Oh, my gosh. That should tell you something about the average, right? They threw the ball 42 times and only came away with 138 yards. So they are going to need something more from their run game, let's be honest. And then he had a couple of interceptions. So not a lot of production there, and that's going to happen. They also ended up with a fumble, too, from one of their running backs. So you are going to see this kind of roller coaster ride with rookie QBs. It's going to take some time. And this is the deal. When you throw them out there, you throw them into the fire, well, you have to expect there are going to be some hiccups. There are going to be some warts, if you will. There are going to be some ways that they need to grow, many ways where they need to grow. And so it'll be interesting to see that Steelers defense against the Broncos and their rookie quarterback and see if they can generate a way to keep the ball away from the Steelers, right? So can they play that ball control game? Can they establish the run? That'll be huge. Otherwise, you're kind of leaving your rookie quarterback as a sitting duck. 855-212-4227. While we're talking about quarterbacks, and especially as we're talking about Steelers and the AFC North, you may have seen that the NFL is investigating this latest lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. Now, we had talked about the details on our last show. It's a civil lawsuit, and it was filed on Monday, and it accuses him of both sexual assault and battery on a date in October of 2020. I do not know why it took this long for the woman to come forward. I can't speak to that. I don't have any information, and I can only give you her allegations, which, as I say, we outlined on our last show. But she's saying that he was at her house for a dinner date, and because she didn't want to go out in public with him, and very quickly things escalated, and he was naked in her apartment, and he violated her without her consent. And so this lawsuit, which is out there, was filed in Harris County, Texas. So it goes back to his days with the Texans. Right now, it's the latest trouble that he has to deal with. Now, the others had seemingly been taken care of. There's one outstanding lawsuit from one massage therapist who refused to settle. But he'd already served his 11-game suspension for those things. And now the NFL is saying it will review this new complaint and will look into the matter under the personal conduct policy. not looking at commissioner's exempt list as there's been no formal charges and the league's review has just begun. You may remember going back to, gosh, the Adrian Peterson situation. Who else was on the, Ray Rice. Both of those guys, right, were, no, Ray Rice got, was he on the commissioner's exempt list? I don't think he was. He ended up getting cut right away from the Ravens when the video came out. But there was someone else that same season that was on the commissioner's exempt list. I'll have to go back and look, but there were a bunch of different situations that one year. What was that, 2015 now? Oh my gosh, has it really been almost a decade ago? That, I remember that summer was, it was dominated by the Ray Rice conversation, especially when the NFL came out with what I think was initially a 1 or 2 game suspension for Ray Rice. And then when the video came out, all hell broke loose. This 2014? My goodness, was it really 2014?
I think it was that off season into 15.
My gosh. Yeah, so it was released by TMZ Sports, I remember, the day after the NFL season kicked off. So it was 2014, and it was the off season before that in which he and his, at the time, engaged, his fiance, the girlfriend. It was in, was Atlantic City, maybe? They were out drinking. They were clearly intoxicated, and they got to an elevator, and he knocked her out. And while we didn't have the video until September, the details were in the police report. I mean, I was on the air sharing the details, but it's just a different thing when there's video, right? And that kind of lines up with the Tyreek Hill situation. The police can give you their version. Tyreek and his camp can give you their version. Calais Campbell has another version. But when you see the video, it's something completely different. So yeah, that turned the NFL upside down. I can't believe it's been a decade now. Turned the NFL upside down, changed their behavioral conduct policies, their domestic violence policies, and really changed the way that they handle violations of personal conduct. Greg Hardy is the other one, right? He was actually convicted by a judge of sexual assault, domestic violence. Maybe it wasn't, it was domestic violence, I think. He was convicted by a judge and he was cut by the Panthers, if I remember correctly, after a while, and then ended up with the Dallas Cowboys. Remember that? But yeah, there were a bunch of big names that were accused under the domestic violence policy, and the NFL was kind of reeling from all of these negative headlines, but deserved all the criticism that it got. So now when it comes to these types of things, Ezekiel Elliott happened, a few years back, where they took a long time to investigate him. We know that there have certainly been suspensions under the domestic violence and personal conduct policies, and they look at every complaint, but they do not need a conviction. They don't even need formal charges. That's not something that they are committed to. Here's the thing, though. The NFL doesn't have investigating power, or subpoena power, I should say. They can investigate. They can ask people to comply. Kareem Hunt, there's another example. They can ask their athletes to comply. The athletes can say no, in which case the NFL usually comes down a little harder. But the thing is, they can't subpoena people and make people talk. They looked into Tyreek Hill for the accusations about roughing up his, at the time, girlfriend, now wife. And he was accused even of breaking his little boy's arm. So they looked into that as well. But they cannot force people to testify. They can't force people with subpoenas to talk to them. And so their investigative power is limited because it's not legal power. Still, though, they don't have to have either charges or convictions to suspend. And this is a behavioral policy, a personal conduct policy that all of the athletes know and have to sign as part of their contract. So they agree to it. We'll see what happens. I think as much as the Cleveland Browns have said over and over that they're committed to him as their quarterback, and they've tried to justify the guaranteed contract with the limited number of games he's played for them, with yet another civil lawsuit that accuses him, in this case, of actually assaulting a woman on a date. against without her consent, of course. I don't know how the Browns cannot think, what did we do? We've locked ourselves in. We've given him all this guaranteed money. I mean, how can they not have buyer's remorse? But the issue is, they're, as long as he's active and healthy, they're committed to him. They have to be, because they, yeah, they have, not only do they have to pay his salary, but where in the world are you going to unload him, right? Where in the world would you be able to trade him? It's a little bit like the Russell Wilson without the personal issues, but nobody really wanted Russell Wilson if they were going to have to pay for him. I mean, the Browns might pay to send him to another franchise, but with all of these various like lawsuits and accusations, I don't even know if that would happen now. So yeah, it's murky. It's murky for sure. The NFL has to investigate. Don't know if the Browns take any action, but right now they don't have a quarterback without him, and they believe they do have a team that can compete in the AFC, so they're kind of stuck. But that is that's the bed they made. That's the choice they made. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, you can vote for TD of the Week for a little while longer. And in addition to that, you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is just about 20 minutes from now. Thanks for hanging out with us. Jerry Jones talking about Dak Prescott's big fat deal. That was part of our Dallas affiliate on Tuesday in his weekly appearance. You'll hear from him next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Third and 5 at the 21, so they're not in the red zone
yet. Not there yet, but they're knocking on the door.
Last year, Cowboys were number one on third down offense, Browns on defense. Third down, Prescott back, looking deep to the middle. He's got a man all alone, caught at the goal line. It's Cooks for the Cowboys' first touchdown of the year, Brandon Cooks.
Any negotiations? I mean, one side wants something, other side wants this, and then obviously you got to get in, you meet in the middle, and that's what we did. Something that works for everybody. I'm just proud, just happy. It's done. I'm proud of my agent. Todd did a great job. Steve and them did a great job. It works for everyone.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
After the Cowboys got their big victory in Cleveland, Dak Prescott throwing that touchdown to Brandon Cooks. Some of you provided it as a write-in vote for TD of the Week. Brad Sham with the call on the Cowboys Radio Network. Well, then we hear Dak reacting to the contract that he signed literally hours before kickoff. In fact, he says he found out. He got the call from his agent, Todd France, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. The game, well, the first round of games started at 1 p.m. Eastern, excuse me. And then the Cowboys and Browns kicked off at 4:25 Eastern. So for him, it was 5 hours before kickoff. But they're already into their pregame preparations and all that jazz. And so this was right under the wire, if you will. Deadlines spur action. Jerry Jones does a weekly appearance on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. And he was looking at not just the money that Dak has been paid, the $231 million fully guaranteed, the 4 years, so $60 million annually, richest for any quarterback or other player in history. So the huge contract, but also the success of Dak.
When I look at what Dak is, he's leader. He plays the position of ultimate leadership in sports, in my opinion, as the quarterback. You can put a huge value on measures of success that don't reach a Super Bowl. I will say this, that any time that we've ever made players the highest paid key players such as Troy Aikman, the most highest paid player in the game, we won Super Bowls.
If you think about, I mean, he's going back kind of history, and it's been a long history now for the Cowboys without a Super Bowl or even an NFC championship game. But if you think about Dak and what he has meant to the team as a leader and as a guy who's beloved by his teammates, that is unquestioned. Last season, with the weapons around him, And that number one includes CeeDee Lamb. He had MVP-like numbers. Whether or not he puts those numbers up again is part of the question. They certainly have the potential to do that. But I think bigger than that is, hey, if you're going to pay a guy as much as you're paying him, now the Cowboys are making plenty of money. Hand over fist, they're worth $10 billion. But the idea to kind of keep spinning your wheels, just keep paying guys without having that ultimate prize. And eventually that gets old. And I think that's kind of what fans have been saying about the Cowboys. So yeah, when Jerry says he's all in, well, he's all in with his top wide receiver. He's all in with his quarterback. Soon we'll be all in with Micah Parsons, who is doing his podcast again. So at some point we'll have to get more from On the Edge with Micah Parsons. I do like this answer. Jerry Jones can be succinct when he feels as though he has nailed it. He was asked again on 105.3 The Fan about some of the frustrations that Dak expressed and just the angst that is there when there's a bit of a stalemate. Remember, this is the second time with Dak and with his agents that it's been an extended process, but Jerry's not worried.
I've never seen anybody get their feelings hurt enough that the money couldn't cure.
I was trying to put myself in that position, Pete, and I was thinking about it. Have I ever been in a situation where my feelings were hurt or I was offended or frustrated enough by a company that if they didn't pay me a big time salary, I mean, it's a pie in the sky pipe dream, but if they gave me a big raise that I might not think, all right, I guess I'm good. Who cares about hurt feelings?
Yeah, maybe $30 million a show.
What? Yeah, right. I think my feelings don't cost nearly that much. I would take far less to put my feelings on the back burner. All right, a little bit from Bill Belichick on Let's Go with Jim Gray. He was reacting to the big money for Dak Prescott.
Cleveland, you know, has a situation there. The Giants with Daniel Jones, maybe a similar situation. And even some of the younger players that have signed big contracts, we'll see how well they do or don't do. So, you know, to have a good team, you need a good quarterback. But say when you spend that kind of money, you just got to be careful. Most important thing, obviously, is that you put the money into the right guy and that it's a good decision. Sure, the money's a lot, but if the player is a really good player, then, you know, that's not really that big of a conversation. I think when you end up in a situation like Denver did with, you know, with Russell Wilson and you're looking at, you know, that type of salary cap hit without the player, that's a big hurdle to get over.
Little bit from Bill Belichick and his assessment of paying quarterbacks. And he mentions a couple of the situations where he at least seems to infer that the money was not well spent and that those teams are now going to have a bit of a conundrum because of the money that they are paying. All right. So we've got Ask Amy Anything coming up next. We were going to shoehorn in some James Earl Jones. Why don't we wait on that so we're not running too late? So Ask Amy Anything is straight ahead. Producer Pete, he's flying solo this time.
That's right.
Send your last minute questions at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page, we will get to more of James Earl Jones next hour because not only do we have him reading the alphabet on Sesame Street from the 1960s. So apparently he was one of the first celebrity guests ever on Sesame Street. But we have some more of his incredible, his memorable movie lines too. And if producer Pete knows what's good for him, he'll bring back more of his Darth Vader, his iconic Darth Vader. All right, so Pete's got to get ready. I got to record a Sports Minute and then Ask Amy is next. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
All right, AM, well, the police union is asking for the immediate reinstatement of the officer placed on administrative duties following the Tyreek Hill detainment issue on Sunday. Meanwhile, Tyreek's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, very vocal about the situation. He's looking for the officer to be fired, this courtesy of the Dan Le Batard Show.
Tyreek wasn't being aggressive or violent or fighting back in any capacity. You know, that was horrendous how they treated him. They didn't treat him like a human being. There's no place for police officers to be on the force.
Officer Adrian Peterson has been ordered by a Houston judge to turn over numerous assets in order to repay a debt estimated to be worth more than $12 million. Steelers still not clear on the calf injury for Russell Wilson. Won't name a starter for Sunday until they check on the health of the former Super Bowl winner, but head coach Mike Tomlin did admit he's gotten more comfortable with Justin Fields after a road victory to kick off the season.
It was a lot of good. It's just good to be in a stadium with a guy. You're speculating until you are, and I just know a heck of a lot more about him because of that experience. And I'm sure he knows more about himself in this environment and us, and so it's just really good things to build upon.
Checking baseball, a pair of homers for Trey Turner as the Phillies overwhelmed the Rays 9-4. Reds blanked the Cardinals 3-0. Twins overpowered the Angels 10-5. Braves put a beatdown on the Nationals 12-0. Michael Harris went deep twice. Cubs double up the Dodgers 6-3. Pirates topped the Marlins 6-4. Guardians bounced the White Sox 5-0. Padres topped the Mariners 7-3 as Manny Machado reached the Seeds trove in 4. A's outlast the Astros 4-3-12. Seth Lugo 7 innings of 3-hit ball, struck out 10. Royals silenced the Yankees 5-0. Brewers able to hold off the Giants 3-2. Blue Jays topped the Mets 6-2. Diamondbacks shut down the Rangers 6-0 as Christian Walker went deep twice. Orioles handled the Red Sox 5-3, and the Tigers just punished the Rockies 11-0. And four ex-Michigan players, including former quarterback Denard Robinson and wide receiver Braylon Edwards, have filed a class action lawsuit against the NCAA and the Big Ten Network, seeking more than $50 million for being wrongfully and unlawfully denied the opportunity to earn money off their name, image, and likeness. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
I'm here. The sports minute did not go as planned. It's a little bit complicated.
Oh, boy.
But here we go. Producer Pete, we'll jump right in. It's Ask Amy Anything. It's the Hump Show. It's your second time, first time solo. Ready, set, let's fly.
All right, here we go.
That music's a little loud.
It is a little loud. A lot of different things were going on just now. Had to get all situated. But let's start with Carol, who asks, what is one of the most outrageous things you've ever done for fun?
That's a good question. I jumped out of an airplane once to impress a boy.
Oh, wow.
I know. They're crazy, right? The stupid things sometimes chicks do to try to get a guy's attention. He was in the plane when I jumped out of it. He was really proud of me. But I grew out of that quickly. But yeah, I would say that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I love to hike and really challenge and push myself. So a couple years ago, and I'm hoping to take Bob with me on one of these adventures, I decided that I would challenge myself and hike 3 mountains over 3,500 feet in a single day. And it was amazing. It was 9.5 miles up and down 3 mountains. One of them, by the way, was over 4,000 feet. Oh my gosh. It was, yeah, I was sore for days, but it was awesome. What else have I done? I've done some humanitarian trips to places that, you know, I might not ever go otherwise. So I enjoy getting out of my comfort zone, whether it's humanitarian or just for fun. But yeah, road trips, I would say, seeing new places, travel. It generally involves travel and going somewhere or doing something I've never done before.
Chuck wants to know, what is your favorite cop drama TV show?
Well, I love Chicago PD right now. I've been a big fan since the beginning, but also back in the day, oh my gosh, only old people use that phrase. Back in the day, I used to love NYPD Blue. Love, love, love it. With, let's see, it was Jimmy Smits, wasn't it? Dennis Franz, Ricky Schroeder. Yeah, that was one of my favorite shows. It was like really my introduction to cop shows, but I was addicted to it. I never missed it. I was so bummed when it was gone.
Mark wants to know, If you had a chance to fly with the Blue Angels, would you consider doing it?
Oh, of course. It's on my bucket list. Whether Blue Angels or Thunderbirds, either one of those. I just had the chance, Bob and I actually had the chance in July to see the Thunderbirds. We saw them at the Super Bowl. To see the Blue Angels perform at an air show. Oh my God. It's breathtaking. And the stunts and the tricks. And then if you haven't seen the documentary on Amazon Prime, definitely get it because it will blow your mind. So yes, the answer is definitively yes! Exclamation point.
Chris asks, what is your favorite James Earl Jones movie?
Oh, that's gosh, that's hard because I love the character of Darth Vader. There's no one like him ever. But taking the Star Wars movies out of it, because he wasn't the actor. He was the voice, but he wasn't the actor. I would say probably The Hunt for Red October, but I really love Field of Dreams. So that's another one, too. Oh, gosh, he's done so many good ones. But I'll put those two out there.
Karen wants to know if you're going to dress up for Halloween, and if so, what costume are you going to wear?
No, I don't dress up for Halloween. I like to wear orange, and a couple of years ago, Jay and I did a video of us trying to carve a pumpkin because neither one of us had ever done it. Yeah, the pumpkin cried. We made the pumpkin cry. So I'm not huge into Halloween, but I do like orange, so I suppose if, I don't know, is Halloween, let's see, what? Oh, Halloween's on a Thursday night this year, so it'll be football. But I suppose, Pete, if you would like to do something kooky, we could make a video of it. Also, I can bring in my pumpkin s'mores because they are delicious.
Oh, that's
delicious.
Someone gave me a costume for this year. I'm not going to reveal it. I might wear it here. I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
That'll be fun.
We'll see. A very deep question from Jenny. She wants to know, if you could go back in time, what would your past self say to your current self?
Choose your battles. Not every battle is worth fighting. Not every battle is worth your time and your energy. And this is something I think a lot of young women have to learn. When it's apparent that a guy's not interested in you, or when he attempts to break up with you, or when he gives you a reason and goes away, let him go away.
For a reason.
Yeah, there's reasons for that. Don't rekindle a relationship that you have no business rekindling. If I had known then what I know now, I would have saved myself a lot of time and heartache. And maybe that falls under the headline of choose your battles, right? Not every battle is worth your time and your energy. Not every person needs you to save them. You know, like there's just so much that you learn as you get older. Waste a lot of time and energy, a lot of heartache. But honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be who I am now if not having gone through those experiences.
Yeah, you keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. That's what it taught us, for sure. All right, Mike wants to know, he knows you've been a runner and a mm-hmm. hiker. Yes. Have you ever been an avid bicyclist?
I do have a bike. I enjoy riding my bike now that Bob took it to a bike shop without telling me and got the tire fixed. Apparently had a very thin a pin or wire in it or something that I picked up from a road. Now, he's much more into it in terms of like hardcore 20 plus miles. I would take it to the beach and bike around, you know, during a beach week, or if I had a trail nearby, 12 to 15 miles, I would do that. He's real into it. Like as in hardcore's got brand new bike that I got him for Christmas. That was his Christmas present, our first Christmas together. The running and the hiking are better for me in terms of what I enjoy, but also being in shape.
How about Bob there stepping in?
He wants to do one of those 60-mile bike tours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's getting ready for it. Boomer Esiason, who's one of our colleagues here, he told me about the one that happens, the Five-Borough bike tour that happens in the spring in New York City, and Bob is pretty excited about maybe training for that.
Oh, that would be great. I'm supporting you guys 100%. Let's go to Eileen, who asks, who's the most influential toward your professional career?
Toward my professional career? That's hard. I didn't have any female mentors, no one that did what I did when I wanted to get into it. So I would say I had, he was my advisor at Syracuse, and he was a former TV news anchor, but also just a real supportive older man who believed in me before I believed in myself. So I would say he was the one that pushed me and didn't want me to settle for anything less than what I really wanted. And he gave me great advice, but he also encouraged me and he believed in me, as I say, which was a huge deal. And even here, when I was first hired, our original bosses, Mark and Eric, you're an original employee from 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. They were also instrumental in helping me to break through to the next level of my career because they never wanted me to be more like the guys or more like another host. They only ever wanted me to be Amy. And a lot of my former colleagues have said to me, you sound like a different person. This is going back even when we started at CBS Sports Radio. You're a different person. You sound like a different person. Well, yeah, it's because I had bosses encouraging me to be who I was and to believe in who I was. So those are three of the people I would say.
Yeah, working with you for 100%, sure.
Thank you.
Where was I? I just lost.
That was Eileen.
That was Eileen. Correct. Let's go to the Jim. Jim wants to know, what's your all-time favorite TV show in general?
Oh, my gosh. My all-time favorite TV show? Well, I love Friends. Friends is the last TV comedy. Friends and Seinfeld were the last ones I ever watched. So Friends would be one of them. But my all-time favorite TV show of ever? Oh, gosh. That's really hard. 90210? Just kidding. But I did love 90210. I don't know. I have so many. I'm big into dramas. I love SEAL Team. That's a good one. I thought Lost was terrific until the end. It kind of went off the rails. The finale was the worst thing ever. But Lost was really good. Oh, my gosh. Let me think if I can conjure up a few more. But those are a few of my favorites.
If you could make a single rule change in any collegiate or pro sports league, how would you what would be the rule that you would implement? That's from Mort.
Okay. I like the NIL rules. I don't like pay for play in college. So to me, I would outlaw it. Again, I don't think that it's a bad deal for athletes to get paid when schools use their name, image, and likeness. But I think it's gone off the rails now. You're talking about bidding wars for quarterbacks that are, you know, $7-8 million. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. I think it really changes the tenor and the spirit of sports. I know that these colleges and universities are making big time money off of the football team. So there needs to be a way maybe that they can be supported more. And the NIL stuff is great, but I don't love the idea of paying someone straight up $8-9 million.
We're going to try to squeeze two in, but we'll get one at least. Mike asks, is there a difference between Toll House cookies made from scratch and the pre-made dough?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can screw up on the ones made from scratch, right? You can change the recipe, too. So, yes.
And Carolyn wants
to put more chips in.
We don't talk politics, but Carolyn wants to know if you and Bob are on the same page politically.
Yes, and actually, we never talked politics before we got married. We talk about them a lot now, but I think inherently, because of our backgrounds, because of our values, we knew that we were on the same page. I will tell you this, neither one of us watched the debate last night because we both knew that it would make us kind of angry and fired up, so we chose not to. Me especially, coming to work after. We do get fired up about politics. I mean, we talk about them almost every day, especially right now in this election cycle, just not publicly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.